It is good to have each one of you here in the house of the Lord this morning, and I appreciate the presence of the Lord that we feel. Amen. And what a beautiful, beautiful day. Can you say amen? I'm telling you what, 6 o'clock, I was out on the patio studying my notes and having my coffee, and I just went, wow, this really feels good. It was a little bit burrish, actually, you know. But it just is absolutely a gorgeous, gorgeous day. Amen. We're glad you're in the house of the Lord with us today. And I do believe with all of my heart that the Spirit of the Lord has laid a word on my heart for this service this morning. And if you want to read the scriptures with me today, we're going to read a familiar passage of scripture to all of us, no doubt. But it is found in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. And that's where I want to take our text from this morning. Romans chapter 1 with verse, or chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Praise the name of the Lord. Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he says in that first verse of the 12th chapter, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That word beseech is, I implore you, I admonish you, I encourage you, I implore you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. He's saying, do not follow the world's example. Do not allow the world's ideology, ideology to have influence in your life. He says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning and just ask that you bow your heads and let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have praised. We come, Lord, to the reading of your word and to the expounding of your word, and Father, today I pray that you would supernaturally anoint me, that you would empower what you speak through me. Use me this morning as an instrument to declare your word. I pray that you would inspire my thoughts and that you would anoint my heart and that you would anoint my lips and allow the word of God to come forth with power and with clarity. And I would pray this morning, O God, that Jesus Christ would be glorified here in our midst, that the people of God would be edified, and that you would have your perfect way, give us liberty in the house of the Lord to minister the word that you have placed upon our heart and upon our spirit today. And we will give you the praise and give you the thanks. And we ask it this morning in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So let me begin this morning by saying that I want to title what the Lord has placed upon my heart, Something's Gotta Change. Something's Gotta Change. And this past week, as I began to pray and began to ask the Lord what he would have me to bring to you this morning in this particular service, the Lord began to deal with my spirit and began to deal with my heart about change. And let me just tell you this morning that If you are here in this life, you're going to experience change. You will never be able to navigate from point A to point Z in life without ever coming across change. Absolutely, positively, unconditionally, unequivocally, inevitably, change is a part of our human experience. If you haven't found that to be true, just hang on and you will. Something has got to change. You will never experience life without experiencing changes in your life. You may be in a good place right now in your life. You may be in a challenging place in your life, but no matter whether you are in a good place or a challenging place, I promise you, just hang on, it will change. You are not always going to experience the mountaintop. You're not always going to be in the valley. There are going to be some moments and times in our life when we experience change. Change can come in the form of both the negative and the positive. How many of you have found that to be true? The death of a loved one, the death of a friend, illness, hardships are just some examples of negative changes that life can bring our way. However, there are also some things on the positive side of life, such as a budding career, finding that special someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with, the birth of a child, buying a new home, buying a new car, new relationships. How about retirement? All of those things can be wonderful things, positive and beneficial changes. But there's one thing about change that will never change. It always pushes our boundaries. It always pushes us, amen, past our former boundaries. It pushes us into the realm of the unknown or the realm of the uncertainty. And think of it for a moment. And the best way, as I begin to try to study, the best way I could think of it was to think back when I was just a little bitty boy and I started kindergarten. How many of you remember that day? A bit apprehensive. It was a big step. It was a big deal. It was filled with uncertainty. Amen. And that's exactly what change brings into our life. It brings moments of uncertainty and it brings us into the realm of the unknown. But how many of you know on that first day of kindergarten, you found out that it really wasn't all that bad? In fact, at times it could be fun. Amen. But we grow, and as we grow, we move from grade to grade and from one grade to another grade, facing the challenges and the changes that come along the way. And finally, if we're studious and we apply ourselves, we end up graduating high school. My wife and I were at a high school graduation Saturday before last. And one of the young speakers there, she said to her classmates as she gave her speech, "And now we have no responsibilities. We don't have to answer to anyone." I looked over at my wife and I said, "That little girl is going to find out that it ain't nothing but the first and the 15th out here." Amen. She gonna find out that there's a whole lot of responsibility. Hello? But we graduate from high school, and then right after graduation, pow, change. We either try to enter the workforce or go on to higher education. But there's a change. Relationships change. And we find that special person and fall in love and enter into marriage. And before you know it, life throws us another curve and we start having children. And you want to talk about change? Hello? Amen. And when you have a house full of them, you know, it really change. In fact, it has been said that there is a significant change in our life every 7 years. Think about that. It's called the 7-year cycle. You can Google that. They say that our life significantly changes about every 7th year. And I got thinking about it. From 0 to 7 a year, from 0 to 7 years old, we know very little or nothing at all. And our favorite question is why? Why is the sky blue? Why do the birds sing? Why does it rain? On and on and on. From 7 to 14, from 0 to 7, we don't know very much. But from 7 to 14, we know a lot. Hello? 7 to 14, we think that we know everything, and we wonder why our parents are so brain damaged. Hello? From 14 to 21, we start discovering our independence. And we learn that our independence comes with responsibility. I always told my boys as they were growing up, you want freedom? Be responsible. I can't give you freedom unless you know how to be responsible. With freedom comes responsibility. If you want freedom, then show me you know how to deal with it. Show me you know how to handle it. It took Cody a while, I'm going to be honest with you. Where'd he go? Oh, he's not even in here. He can't even defend himself. From age 20, from 21 to 28, life normally changes again. We start having a marriage and we start having babies. And then from 28 to 35, and from 35 to 42, somewhere in that age range, we start to realize that our parents really weren't brain damaged at all. And we would like to be just like them. Right? There is a change. 42 to 49, 49 to 56, 56 to 63, and on and on and on. Amen. There is always going to be change. What I'm getting at this morning is that you will never go through this life without making some changes. I find that really ironic because in our human experience, we really don't like change. Hello? Most of the time, if we are honest with ourselves, we are not so thrilled when things change. We like everything settled. We like everything in a routine. When it comes to change, most of the time, we are plenty happy just coasting along. Not anything upsetting our apple cart. But let me just share something with you this morning. If you want a vibrant and fulfilling life that is successful, then you must learn how to embrace change. Let me give you some examples. We cannot be 45 years old, married with a house full of kids, and try living like we are 21 again. It'll never work. Hello? It'll never work. You can't be 32 years old and trying to live your life like a retiree. I just like my hobbies, and I like to fish, and I want to lay on the couch, and I just want to take things easy. Hello? Well, you try that at 32 and see how well that works out for you. You can't be 38 years old and still living at home. Karina looked at Morgan and went, you can't do that. Say, that's good preaching, Brother Gary. Somewhere along the line, you have to realize if you're going to have a successful life, there's going to come some changes. And instead of trying to resist those changes, we need to embrace that change and let go of some things so that we can move into some things. Amen. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? And the same thing is true this morning, beloved, of our spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ, if he is sitting upon the throne of our heart, then there are going to be some changes that are evident in our life. Amen. There comes a time when we must grow up and mature in his grace. There comes a time when we have to realize that in order to move into the promised land, we've got to let go of the wilderness. If we're going to move into the blessing of God, then we're going to have to move into the grace and the goodness of God and in obedience to the Lord. Amen. Let me just share with you this morning. There are going to be some changes in our spiritual life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 11, Paul said these words. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, he said, in other words, I grew up a little bit. Amen. When I became a man, I've had to put childish things away. I'm here to tell you this morning that the same thing is true in our spiritual walk with God. If we want to move into everything that God has for us, then we need to let go of some things that are holding us back and tying us back there. We need to turn loose so we can move in and embrace the change that God has, because with the change comes the blessing. Understand this morning that when we come to Christ, there is a call to change. Jesus is all about change. He is all about change. From the very onset of his ministry, Jesus came preaching repentance. How many of you know that repentance means change? It means to change. Repentance is to turn from one thing and embrace something else. Repentance means a change of direction. I can tell you this morning, I remember walking in my sin and walking one way. And when the Lord came into my life, I did a 180 and began to walk in a new way, began to think in a new way, and began to live in a new way. Why? Because Christ is all about change. Repentance means that we stop looking at things in the realm of the earthly, or in the realm or the perspective of the earthly, and we begin to look in the realm of the spiritual, and we take on a heavenly viewpoint. Do you hear what I'm talking about today? When we come to Christ, there ought to be a change in our heart. In the Sermon on the Mount, and I want you to turn there, it's found in Matthew chapter 5. In the Sermon on the Mount, this was Jesus' first public discourse. This was his first message, if you will, to the public. Six times, and I'm going to point them out to you, but six times in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you have heard it said, but I say. And those very words, amen, indicate change. You have heard it said, but I say. Now let me point them out to you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. Verse 22, but I say, change. I say that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Again, verse 27, you have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. Change. Verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looks upon a woman with lust in his heart hath committed adultery with her in his heart already. That's change. He comes to bring change. Verse 21 or verse 31. It hath been said that whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Change. Verse 32. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, save for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries her, amen, that is divorced, commits adultery. Do you see what I'm talking about this morning? Amen. Jesus came saying, you've heard it said, change, but I say. In other words, every time that Jesus speaks, he teaches us that he is all about change. Amen. On down we could go. Verse 33. You've heard it said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform thine oath unto the Lord. Verse 34. But I say unto you, don't swear at all. Amen. On verse 38, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Verse 39, but I say, amen, I say unto you that resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn unto him the other also. Do you see what I'm saying? Everything that Jesus taught here in the Sermon on the Mount had to do with change. It had to do and it dealt with change. He does not come this morning to just remodel us, but he comes to literally transform us. Amen. Jesus calls us on a journey to come and follow me. He calls us out of death into life. He calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He calls us out of sin into salvation. He calls us out of destruction into, amen, life everlasting. He never calls us out, amen, that he's not calling us into. Every time that he calls to bring us out and to bring us in. Change. Amen. He never calls us out to leave us in limbo, but he calls us out to bring us into something better. His salvation this morning is a transformation experience that transforms. It changes our past. It changes our future. It changes our destiny. It changes this morning our family origin. The Bible said that when we were lost in sin, amen, that our father was the devil. But thank God we've been born again, and now my father is the Lord. Thank God we've been brought into the kingdom of his dear son. Thank God that our past has been forgiven and our future has been secured. Thank God, amen, that the old man is dead and the new man is alive in Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Change. He changes our hearts. And let me just share with you what the Holy Spirit put upon my heart this past week. Coming to Christ requires change, and living for Christ requires change. Hello? Amen. Paul, here in our text, he is talking about certain changes that need to come after we have given our heart to Christ. Let me point out the three things that the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I was studying for this message today. Three things that I believe need to change. When we come to Christ, there needs to be a change. And the first one is this: there needs to be a change in our lifestyle, in our actions, in the fruit of our doing. Somebody said, well, the Bible has got this whole list of thou shalts. No, no, it's not about that. It's not about a list of thou shalts and what you can do and what you can't do. It's not about that. It's about having a heart that has been changed, and now I no longer desire that. You know, you could take a dog that bites and put a muzzle on the dog, and if he had a chance, he'd still bite you. Right? That's what the law was like. The law said you can't do this and you can't do that and thou shalt not do this and thou shalt do that. And it was just simply God trying to put a muzzle on us. But the problem with the law is the heart was never changed. If we had the opportunity, we'd still do what the law said we shouldn't do. You following me? But when Jesus came along, no, he doesn't just muzzle us. He puts a new heart in us. And now what used to appeal to me doesn't bother me anymore. It's not alluring anymore. You hear what I'm saying? Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, you present yourself a living sacrifice. How many of you know a sacrifice is absolutely yielded to its purpose? That's what we need to be, yielded to the purpose of God. He said, I beseech you, I beg of you, I earnestly encourage you to present yourself a living sacrifice unto the Lord, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Notice this morning that he said, we are to present ourselves holy and acceptable unto God. Beloved, let me share with you this morning that our God is a holy God, and he demands that we strive to live a holy life. Hello? He demands that we strive to live a holy life. Look what Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 1 says. Verse number 1 and verse number 2 of Leviticus chapter 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all of the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, be ye holy, for I, your God, am holy. We have talked about it before, that before the throne of God, the book of Revelation reveals that around his throne are the cherubim and the seraphim, and day and night they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I came to tell you this morning that when we come to Christ, there needs to be a change in our lifestyle that shows that we are holy and acceptable unto the Lord. What does holy mean? Does it mean perfect? No. What does holy mean? Holy simply means set apart. Set apart. That guitar is sitting on the right side of the platform this morning. If I walked over, picked it up, and moved it on this side, I have set it apart. That's what he's talking about. Our God is separate and other from this world. And God expects us to live in a manner that is separate and other, separate and different from this world. Amen. Listen what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? He goes on to say, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, this is God talking. God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then this is what he said, wherefore, if I'm living in you and I'm abiding in you, then wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and then I will receive you, and then I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And the very next verse of the seventh chapter says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, amen, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And there's a whole lot of stuff right there in those verses. But what he is saying is, if you are claiming that I am in your heart and that I am your God, then I am living in you, I am walking in you, I am dwelling in you. Separate yourself from the ungodly things of the world. Don't touch the unclean things. And then I will receive you and be a father unto you. Wherefore, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. What does that mean? It means separate yourself from the ungodly things of the world. There needs to be a change in the fruit of our life. There needs to be a change in the fruit of our actions, the fruit of our deeds. John the Baptist said to the Pharisees that came to be baptized, he said, bring forth proof, amen, or bring forth works or meat, proof of your repentance. In other words, if there is really a change on the inside, then there's going to be a change on the outside. You hear what I'm saying this morning? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16 said, because it is written, be holy as I am holy. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7, the Bible says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Hebrews 12 and 14 said, follow all men, amen, or follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. Now that's a pretty powerful statement. If you don't follow after holiness, he said, if you don't follow after holiness, you will not see God. You hear what I'm saying this morning? We cannot live a dedicated life to Christ and keep living like the world. We cannot live a dedicated life to Christ and keep allowing sin to have dominion over our life. We cannot live a dedicated life to Christ and keep looking back at Egypt or our old life like the children of Israel. We cannot live a dedicated life to Christ and keep allowing our flesh to be a stumbling block. Don't tell me this morning that you have given your heart to Christ, amen, and then you continue to live like the devil. Don't tell me that you've given your heart to Jesus, and then you still harbor hate in your heart for your neighbor. Don't tell me this morning that Jesus is the Lord of your life, and everywhere you go, you are spewing bitterness out of your mouth. No, 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 no. If he's on the inside, there's going to be a change on the outside. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That is the truth of the matter this morning. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. If he's on the inside, something has got to change. You're going to have the fruit of the Spirit on the outside. Amen. Number two, the second thing that the Lord, amen. Number one, we have to have a lifestyle change. Number two, we must have our thinking must change. Our thinking must change. Look what Paul says in verse 2 of our text. He says, be not conformed to this world. Don't allow the world's mentality to shape your vision of life. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How are we transformed? He tells us, by the renewing of our mind. How many of you know our mind is our biggest problem? Hello? That's where the battle takes place. Our mind is our biggest issue. Amen. Because the enemy whispers in our ear, and then we get to dwelling on it. We get to thinking. It's like a woman that conceives seed. Amen. That child ain't going to come forth that very day, but give it 9 months. If she nurtures it and she just begins to, amen, allow her body to feed it and allow her body to nurture that seed, it's going to grow. And 9 months later, it's going to come out. Same thing happens in our mind. If we give place to the enemy and we give thought to the enemy and we begin to dwell on that which is unrighteous and that which is evil, we just coddle it and we begin to think on it and begin to meditate on it, sooner or later it's going to come out. Do you have proof of that? James said, when sin hath conceived in our heart, amen, sin brings forth sin, or that when that thought conceives, amen, sin will come forth out of that. I'm here to tell you this morning that we must abort some of our stinking thinking and allow the Holy Spirit to renew our mind by the Word of God. And when our mind gets renewed, we'll walk in a new path and we'll talk another language. And we'll talk another talk, and people will see Christ in us. Our mind has to be renewed. Our mind has to be transformed. Amen. We must put on the mind of Christ. We must have a change in our thinking. Our thinking must be made new. We must be reprogrammed. How many of you hear what I'm talking about this morning? Amen. How do you reprogram your mind? You get in the Word of God, and then when you get in the Word of God, you'll find out that the Word of God starts getting in you. And when the Word of God starts getting in you, don't just, amen, let the word that you hear on Sunday be the only word that you hear all week. No, get in the Word of God. He'll feed you from the Word every day. Hallelujah. Let it get in you. And when it gets in you, it'll change you from the inside out. It'll reprogram your thoughts. It'll reprogram your mind. When Paul says, amen, be renewed or be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he's giving us in the Greek, he's giving us a picture of a caterpillar that crawls into a cocoon. And when it's in that cocoon, you can't see very much but the old crusty outside. But something is happening on the inside. Hello? And when it breaks out of that cocoon, it ain't coming out an old worm. It's coming out a beautiful butterfly. That's what he's talking about. Be transformed, metamorphosis. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Crawl in the Word, and the Word will beautify you, change you so radically that you'll come out on the other side flapping your wings, beautiful in the sight of the living God. And people will see the glory and the beauty of God in your life. Hallelujah. Change our thinking by the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3 through verse number 5. Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He goes on to say, casting down imaginations. All those little whispers that the enemy speaks into your mind. We are like a transistor radio with an antenna. We can hear from the spirit realm, and we can hear from both God and the enemy. And whichever station it lands on is up to you. Hello? Does that make sense? Amen. He says, casting down imagination. That's static from that other frequency. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to cast that down. Casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. In other words, every thought that the enemy puts in your mind, you're going to have to deal with it one way or the other. You're going to have to shoo it out of the tree, or you're going to let it roost and make a nest. Does that make sense? Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, we have to bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ. In other words, if it doesn't line up with God's word, then we reject it and we do not allow it to remain in our thought life. Amen. We bring every thought into captivity and every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 through verse number 9. Paul says, be careful for nothing. Literally, it means don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And listen to his advice. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, he says, think on these things. In other words, we have to have our mind renewed and changed to think upon the goodness of God. If we don't, our mind will wander every other kind of path that you can think of. I came to tell you this morning, something's got to change, and it's got to start in our mind. Hallelujah. I could give you other scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, your minds must be clear. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2. Keep your mind on things above and not on worldly things. In other words, we have to have our mind changed and set upon the Lord. Amen. Something has got to change. Our lifestyle must change. Our actions must change. Our thinking must change. And number three, our priorities must change. Our priorities. I mean, if you know, if it's a priority to you, it's pretty important. It may not be important to God, but it's important to me. And the truth of the matter is, our priorities need to change. Hello? Let me give you some scripture for that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will fall into place. All these other things will be added to you. But what does he tell us? Put God first. You need to make him a priority. He's got to be priority number one. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 through 39. He that loves father or mother more than me, Jesus said, is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Jesus said, he that finds his life shall lose it. In other words, if you make your priorities the priority in your life, you're going to wind out missing out on what God wants for you. He said, if you find your life, you're going to lose it. And if you lose your life, in other words, if you submit your will unto his, amen, if you lose your life for my sake, he said, you'll find it. Luke 9 and 62, Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, if you get started on the right track and decide you're going to look back and long for something else, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because he must be priority number one. He must be priority number one. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 6, 24. He said, no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold the one and despise the other. I'm telling you this morning that we got to make Jesus Christ the main priority in our life. He's number one. And if he's not, something has got to change. 1 John 2 and 15, John tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world or puts the world above the priority of God, then the love of the Father is not in him. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Three things that have got to change. Our lifestyle must change. Our thinking must change. Our priorities must change. This morning, I believe with all of my heart as I conclude that the Holy Spirit is asking us to allow him to make some changes in our life. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform us. Amen. As I sat on the patio this morning and studied my notes and read the scriptures that the Lord laid on my heart, I thought something has got to change. And Lord, let it start with me. Let it start with me. And the Holy Spirit seemed to speak to my heart and said, no, the real question is, something's got to change. And Lord, it is me. It's you too. Something's got to change. And it's me. It's me. I'm the one that needs to change. Do you remember when Isaiah, and you'll read it in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord, he was high and lifted up. And in chapter 5 of Isaiah, amen, about 6 or 7 times, Isaiah went around and prophesied to the people. And this is what he said, woe unto you, and woe unto you, and woe unto you, and woe unto you. But when he got to chapter 6, he said, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he said, when I saw him, I said, woe is me. I'm the one that's undone. Something's got to change. And Lord, it's me. I'm the one that needs to change some of my actions. I'm the one that needs to change some of my thoughts. I'm the one that needs to change some of my priorities. It's me. And if you're honest with yourself this morning, it's you too. I'm the one that needs to be transformed. I'm the one that needs to be changed. I'm the one that needs to be reprogrammed. I'm the one that needs to be remodeled and altered and modified. It's me. My wife this morning, I thought about this when I was preparing for this service. My wife posted a little picture on Facebook, I don't know, three, four days ago. And the little picture on Facebook had this saying on it. It struck me then as, oh, that's really good. It struck me this morning like, ouch, that really hurts. This is what it said. Judas had the best. He had the best pastor that you could ask for. He had the best leader that you could ask for. He had the best teacher that anyone has ever had. He had the wisest and the best friend in Jesus, and yet he failed. And the little saying goes on to say, the problem is not leadership. The problem is not the church that you attend. if your attitude doesn't change, if your character is not transformed, then you will always be the same. Something's got to change. Lord, it's me. It's me. Bow your heads, please, all over the building this morning, if you would, please. Something's got to change. And it's me, it's you. This morning, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, I just want us to give the Holy Spirit to remodel our heart, remodel our thinking, remodel our spirit, remake and transform. You got to give him the permission to do it. He will never make changes in you without your permission. He will never make changes in your life, in your mind, in your heart, in your actions, in your direction, or in your destiny without giving him permission to do it. This morning, as our heads are bowed, I just want us to give the Holy Spirit permission. We sing that song, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. No, Holy Spirit, you're needed here. You're needed here. We give you permission to come into our hearts, into our minds, into our spirit. Knock down walls. Enter into places where we have not let you enter into. Remodel. Change us, remold us, remake us, transform us as we humbly submit ourselves as a living sacrifice, separate from the world. Change us, I pray, oh God, from the inside out. You have our permission, Lord, to do your will in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. How many of you here today would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Lord, something's got to change, and it's me. It's me. God bless your hands. God bless your hands. They seize your hands all over the building. Lord, something's got to change. And I realize it's me. I realize it's me. And you have my permission to change me. You have my permission to change me. So radically change me that I am so different, that I am just a former image of my old self. People don't even recognize what you've done in my life. Knock down walls, put up new chandeliers, do what? Paint whatever you want to do, Lord, in me. Here I am. I am submitted to you. Change whatever you desire. In the name of Jesus, hands have been lifted all over the place. Stand to your feet. Let's pray together one more time before Hoss comes and leads us in worship. Just worship the Lord. Lift your hands. Talk to the Lord this morning. Amen. Talk to the Lord this morning. Lord, thank you for bringing it to our attention. Thank you, oh Lord God, for speaking your word to our hearts and giving us opportunity to change. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that every hand that has been lifted, God, I pray, Lord, that you would supernaturally enter in by the power of your Holy Spirit. We have given you permission by the uplifting of our hand. We have invited your presence. You said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, come on in. Well, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Change the furniture around. Knock the walls down. Remodel. Do whatever you want to do. You are Lord in my life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, I ask you, I beseech you, have your way in us. Have your way in us on an individual level, and have your way in us on a corporate level as Elevation Worship Center. Lord, we are your servants. You send us, you lead us, you guide us, and you help us bring glory to your name. Hallelujah. Something's got to change, Lord, and let it begin in me. Let it begin in me. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.